Thank you, and welcome to the Becker Group Business Strategy 15-Minute Podcast. I'm Scott Becker, a partner at McGuire Woods and the founder and publisher of Becker's Healthcare. I have today with us a wonderful guest on our podcast, Jeff Cockrell, who's the head of the private equity group at McGuire Woods. What we'll do today is I'll ask Jeff to introduce himself, then we'll ask Jeff a series of questions around business development, about what he sees others doing in business development successfully, then some final thoughts from Jeff. Jeff's built a tremendously successful practice and sees a lot of very successful businesses, and so we're excited to have him share his thoughts with us today. Jeff, let me start by asking you to introduce yourself and tell us just a little bit about your background.
Sure. Jeff Cockrell, I'm the head of the private equity group at McGuire Woods, and I've been doing this for around about 20 years. I started out as kind of a knuckle-dragging M&A lawyer, and over time began to focus more and more on healthcare transactions, and now almost everything I do is in the context of healthcare provider services transactions.
And Jeff, when you talk about the evolution from being sort of a core lawyer and so many lessons about your business development, you now had the business development group here. You've built a very successful practice with a lot of other partners joining that practice. So a lot of your lessons, I think, transcend the law profession and really work for anybody in business development. But for a little bit of background, when you talk about sort of being a core mergers and acquisitions lawyer originally, versus then at some point a business developing lawyer as well as a practicing lawyer. I mean, you do both. You develop a great deal of business, plus you also serve clients directly. Tell us a little bit about that evolution from sort of service to business development and the combination of the two.
Well, I think kind of starting out, one of the things people talk about in business development is kind of competence and responsiveness, at least in a service provider industry like mine. I view those as kind of the table stakes that you can't even enter the arena without having those baseline things present. But to really find some success in business development, you've got to do a bunch of other things that go well beyond that. And I would kind of describe it as in order to develop business, you have to, in basketball parlance, you have to hang out around the rim, which means being in close enough contact with people over a long enough period of time in a productive way that when opportunities arise, you're present for them. And it's hard to do. It's easy to do a little bit of, but it's hard to do in a sustainable kind of pervasive manner over months and months and years with a long list of people that might be able to send you work.
You've built a great reputation in this healthcare mixed world with private equity. Tell us a little bit about, if you were going to give somebody three keys to business development, when you've intersected these two areas remarkably well and built a great team, what are the three keys to business development you'd share with our audience?
One of them probably ties to kind of my focus on healthcare. And that is, as a lawyer, there's a lot of M&A and private equity lawyers in the market. And I quickly saw that kind of finding an intersection with another discipline kind of thinned out the competition. There's a lot fewer really, really good M&A or private equity lawyers that specialize in healthcare transactions. And that's a big enough market that there's a lot of those transactions. But I quickly saw that finding a competitive advantage to help you rise above some of that competition is really, really important. So I guess one of the things I'd say kind of generally is to really seek out an area where you can find some form of competitive advantage, especially if you're operating in a very hyper-competitive world like I do, trying to sell legal services to private equity firms. And that's kind of a specific item. And then I think more generally, I think you have to be as intentional as you can around kind of maintaining those contacts with people who can send you work. And it's hard, but if you can find ways to provide value to people in advance enough times that eventually either A, people feel like they know you, and all things being equal, people want to do business with people they know and like. But you also start to hit a point where most decent people, if someone's kind of provided you a lot of kind of advantages over a period of time, they eventually want to reciprocate that. And that's been kind of the core of what we do, is finding things that are a benefit to a person, whether that's thought leadership or other things, or helping them with introductions to opportunities or people, but continually providing that benefit in advance of being hired. If you do that enough times over a long enough period of time, it just starts to work.
Thank you. I heard you really mention two core things. One is, you ultimately felt that in this very competitive world of selling professional services to banner clients like large private equity funds, you had to narrow down your niche to give yourself a competitive advantage. You ultimately narrowed it down to healthcare. Obviously, that's not the only choice. There's other choices, but you spoke very clearly about having to narrow down that niche to give yourself a special advantage, special knowledge. And then the second concept was very systematic and intentional on staying in contact with people that could do business with you over a sustained period of time. And let me ask you a question about that, on sustained period of time and how deep those efforts have to be. Many people in businesses of any sort are trying to build a business. If they're in sales, they're trying to build a pipeline and business that sends them business. If you're a lawyer, you're trying to build a practice. How deliberate do you have to be? How long does it take? How much do you have to stick with it? When do you start to see results? Jeff, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I do think that's the crux of it, is doing enough and sustaining long enough is where I think most people that are struggling, they ultimately fall down, because it takes years and years. When we started doing this, I and a couple of colleagues here, we did it for probably 2 years and really didn't have anything to show for it. And it's super discouraging, and you have to just kind of push through it. And eventually, the body of work that you've done in kind of creating your thought leadership presence, or just presence in the industry, it starts to catch up with you and it gets easier. But I think a lot of times people get discouraged and don't keep doing it long enough for it to work. Kind of one of the things that really made the difference for us is we found some mechanisms that could kind of socially help us get through the difficulty of doing something for so long that's not producing any results. We developed these small groups that would meet on a regular basis, and it wasn't formal or rules-based, but it provided just enough kind of social cohesion and visibility into other people kind of continuing to keep at it that it helps me keep at it. And I couldn't overstate enough the benefits of kind of finding those small collaborative groups that can help reinforce your efforts through the time that's going to be a pretty prolonged period of time when it's really difficult and doesn't show a lot of results.
Jeff, let me ask you a follow-up question. It's so much of today's world, people want to do their interactions by phone, by technology, by computer, and so forth. You're getting hired for large engagements where private equity funds are trusting the most important transaction to you, and they're spending a lot of money to do so. How important are personal connections, actually meeting people versus doing everything by phone and internet? What's the mix in sales today? How much do you still have to have a personal touch and meet people personally to ultimately do business with them? Any thoughts on that?
I think you can do a lot in a less personal manner using emails, but it has to feel personal. So we're very careful in how we send out kind of outbound contacts. We may be sending something and reaching out or sharing a thought leadership piece or an invitation to something to hundreds or maybe thousands of people, but we always do it in a kind of colloquial manner that is kind of premised on a very personal relationship. But I also think that only gets you so far, especially when you're selling big dollar sorts of things. And eventually people need to kind of see you and hear you, and you need the level of kind of personal relationship that enables them to be willing to have the trust to give you significant responsibilities, number one. And then number two, when you have kind of that more specific personal relationship that can only be built on direct personal interactions, then you start to cultivate relationships with people where a lot more things can happen, whether that is kind of mushrooming out to doing a ton of work with a particular person or client, having them become a referral source for others. It really takes a more personal level of connection before you see those kind of more advanced results.
So it's really some mix of the technology background, customer relationship types of tools, with a lot of personal discussions and phone calls. And I know I've seen you go on the road to visit with lots of funds and existing clients and possible clients. Then also I know you and your team of literally a dozen people go out to JP Morgan to visit with lots of people every year and set up 30 to 50 meetings out there and visit with lots of people. But a lot of this mix of technology and hand-to-hand visiting. And then let me ask you the next question. You've built not just a great practice, but I think more importantly, a great team. And there's others building teams too around healthcare and private equity and the McGuire Woods Law Firm. How important is a team-based approach to an individual sort of, in the old world, there was an individual rainmaker who drove a lot of stuff. Today, it seems more and more team-based. How critical is that to actually delivering the type of service you want to deliver, building the consistent client base you want to have? How important are teams versus highly motivated individuals?
I mean, it kind of touches at a number of levels. First, kind of personal to me, is I've been practicing for 10 years before I encountered you and got to see some of these kind of business development techniques. And for me, I would do stuff for a little bit and then I'd get discouraged. For me, I needed the social aspects of the team approach for me to even be able to do it long enough for it to work. So that's more personal to me. And we do that in the private equity group. We have these small groups that are kind of ad hoc formed by people, but they meet regularly, really driving at providing that kind of social support. But not everybody needs that. Some people are just built and wired in a way where they can kind of sustain that on their own. It just wasn't me. So there's that level. And then I think the team approach enables you to bring along people that eventually in their career and in our development of them, we need them to start doing kind of what I do. And there's no better way to learn how to do business development than being a part of it and seeing it, being in the room when conversations are happening, being on the road when kind of brand new meetings are occurring with people that you'd never met before. There's no substitute for seeing it live. And what that enables people to do is become a more comfortable in the nuts and bolts of how to kind of engage in that environment. But it also breaks down some of the barriers of saying, oh, the stuff that Jeff does is super hard and other people can't do it. The reality is it's not super hard. It just takes a lot of work. And people can realize that, you know what, I can do everything Jeff does. If I just devote myself to the level of intense effort surrounding that, I can have success as well. And so it teaches people how to do this.
Well, and I would further comment that what you've done in building a team is made it easier. It's always hard work, but to execute on the great efforts that are being made to actually deliver services to clients at the level you want to deliver them. I mean, the worst thing I've ever seen in professional organizations is when sales gets ahead of delivery, and by building a great team, aside from helping on the sales and development side, it's helped assure that the development and the actual client execution stays where you want it to be. I want to thank Jeff Cockrell. Jeff, I know your phone number is 312-849-8272. Email address, gcockrell, C-O-C-K-R-E-L-L, at McGuire Woods, M-C-G-U-I-R-E, Woods, W-O-O-D-S.com. Just a tremendous wealth of information and just a tremendous pride in the effort that you've put into growing what you've grown and more importantly, the team that's grown it with you. Just a magnificent effort. So I want to thank you for joining us on the Becker Group Business Strategy 15-Minute Podcast today, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again shortly. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.